Texans and Oklahomans don't just clash over football. They also have a long history of battling, sometimes literally, over water. The latest water conflict played out in the Supreme Court. Justices recently ruled that the Tarrant Regional Water District, located in North Texas, cannot divert water from Oklahoma river basins. In a region like the Great Lakes, this case may seem irrelevant, but according to environmental attorney Solis Michelonis, the Great Lakes Basin should take note. Michelonis is a senior attorney at Plunkett Cooney, and he details why the Great Lakes should care about the Supreme Court's decision in his latest article for Crane's Detroit Business. Solis, welcome to Current State.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Let's start by discussing how the Supreme Court case came to be. 35 years ago, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas all joined together to sign the Red River Compact. What is that compact?
Well, the compact is basically an agreement among the states on how to divert water. You can imagine that water flows from state to state to state, and there's the potential of states upriver basically blocking the flow to the states downriver, and that was what happening, especially to Louisiana. So they worked out an agreement. It's basically a compact agreement. The states get together, they draft an agreement, it gets the blessing of Congress, and then it becomes law.
Now, at some point, I guess a lawmaker in Oklahoma blocked out-of-state water sales. How did this move end up being questioned here in the Supreme Court case?
Well, in Oklahoma has laws in place that prevent it from transferring water from outside the state to outside buyers. There's a provision in their legislation where you apply for a permit and they can deny those permits. The compact says you have to divert you have to allow so much water to go downriver, but anything over that you can use to your full extent. And they break it up by different basins. And so what happened here was Fort Worth is in this basin that water comes from Oklahoma. They're running out of water because of drought, because of all the population, because of fracking, for a variety of reasons.
Fort Worth is running out of water.
Fort Worth, yeah.
Yeah,
Fort Worth,
Texas,
Arlington, Texas.
Texas. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Fort Worth and Arlington,
as opposed
Texas.
To Oklahoma. I just wanted to be clear about that.
Great. Yeah, right. And so Oklahoma's got the water, and they're required to allow a certain percentage of that water to go downstream. But anything over that, they get to keep according to their own provisions and statutes. And so what Fort Worth was trying to do, what Tarrant Regional Water District was trying to do, was basically force Oklahoma to sell it water.
And the decision in the Supreme Court, and it played out exactly how. I mean, Oklahoma was found that they were not obligated to sell the water, correct?
That's right. They said under the terms of the compact, Oklahoma was fulfilling its end of the bargain, and that Fort Worth was not, or Tarrant Regional Water District, wasn't allowed to require Oklahoma to divert certain amounts of water to it.
And here in the Great Lakes, why do you feel that that case has particular relevance?
Well, the Supreme Court looked at the language of the compact and held it strictly. They looked at it as if it was a contract, and that's how they interpreted it. Now, the Great Lakes has its own compact, the Great Lakes Compact, with the seven states, Great Lakes states, and the water in the Great Lakes Basin, along with Quebec and Ontario, which are sort of honorary members. They can't bind the Canada, but it's basically a very similar concept where the water in the Great Lakes Basin is required to remain in the Great Lakes Basin with very few exceptions. And so the idea is that if the Supreme Court has taken a look at this Red River Compact and held it strictly, even to the point where, you know, Fort Worth was in a dire situation, they needed the water, and even then the Supreme Court wouldn't allow the water, then if you're living in the Great Lakes Basin, you're concerned about water being diverted outside the basin, you can take a look at this decision and determine that, well, the Supreme Court's probably going to honor our compact as strictly.
So generally a favorable ruling in terms of Michigan,
correct,
its impact on Michigan. Now, the Great Lakes Compact that you referred to has yet to be really tested in relation to water divergence. There is a precedent-setting request right now from town in Wisconsin, Waukesha, Wisconsin. Explain that situation and how that's unfolding.
Well, there is a provision in the Great Lakes Compact where you can divert water outside the basin, and there's very limited opportunities for this. And you have to be either basically right on the basin line or in a county that is located inside the basin. So you could be a city outside the basin, but located in a county that's inside the basin. And Waukesha is one of those cities. And so there's actually a provision in the compact that allows you to do that. Now, to allow those outside diversions, you need the agreement of all seven governors. All seven states need to agree to that diversion.
And where are we on that timeline here exactly?
I haven't followed it that closely, but I've been reading it off and on. I think they're still in the process. Is it going to be likely that the Waukesha is going to get the water? I think if they're in the county, they may. There are already several diversions already outside the Great Lakes Basin that already exist. Probably the largest one is the one that deals with Chicago. That water gets diverted at Chicago into the Mississippi River. So some diversions would be allowed, but again, you know, this is a very limited opportunity for, you know, very specific facts that would allow that sort of diversion. We're not talking about diverting it to, you know, Nebraska or something.
Well, I'm just curious, though, as we watch if we were to watch water levels continue to go down in the Great Lakes, would a case like the Waukesha case be more likely to trigger a denial in the future?
It may be, and the water is diverted. I mean, in the Great Lakes, people don't realize it's like 1% of the water is recharged on an annual basis because of rain and snowfall and things like that. So the water levels are pretty static. I mean, the water that's in the Great Lakes is the water that's been there for a very, very long time, and it doesn't get recharged at a very large rate. So, you want to make sure that you hold on to it. Now, Waukesha gets ahead, and then the next person comes in line, asks for it. Diversion, as things get drier, that may happen, and people are nervous about the water levels. You've been reading about it a lot in the papers. Even with all the rain we've had this spring, it really hasn't affected those lake levels at all.
How does this play out west, where a drought is a much bigger problem than it is here in the Midwest?
Well, it's a huge issue out west. I mean, they've had, you know, businesses actually close down because they've run out of water. I know that a couple of years ago there was actually a solar plant that was making solar panels and stuff had to close down because it ran out of water. There have been nuclear plants in the southeast that have had to close down because the water is so shallow and so warm they can't use it to cool off the reactor. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of pressure. People will be looking to the Great Lakes, and they have. I mean, there's been a lot of schemes already in the past where people have attempted to try to divert water. The one that sort of provided the impetus for the compact was in 1998 when some company out of Canada wanted to sell tanker loads of water to an Asian company to ship overseas. So there are going to be pressures like that. There's a very interesting article in this month's Harper magazine about a company trying to take glacier water out of Iceland and putting it on old oil tankers and shipping it to the Mideast and things like that. So
interesting. Wow.
Yeah, so stuff like that is going to be coming up. And you know, one of the things also people don't realize is that drought with climate change and things like that, I mean, a couple of years ago, the Pentagon took a look at what's going to be providing the impetus for future conflicts abroad.
Yeah.
And water is one of the largest ones. I mean, right now, Pakistan and India are fighting over a reservoir. And you know how hot those countries, how much they
already are.
Each other.
Yeah.
So add water to the mix,
yeah.
And you've got a volatile situation.
Just add water. Solas Michelonis is a senior attorney at Plunkett Cooney. He's practiced environmental law for over 25 years. You can find more of his work on the intersection of law and the environment, Law and the Environment blog for Cranes Detroit. Thanks, Solas.
It's been my pleasure.
This environmental segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news on the Great Lakes environment is available at greatlakesecho.org.